Dan McClellan, everybody's favorite theologian.
I'm not a theologian, but all right, let's see it.
Tells us that the reason Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed was not because of the common sexual practice.
It was to condemn inhospitality.
He cites Ezekiel and Jude. He noticeably does not cite Leviticus 20, Romans 1, 1 Timothy 1. Even Jesus speaking in Matthew 19 has some relevance to the events of Sodom and Gomorrah.
No, not a single one of those passages has any relevance whatsoever to determining what the rhetorical purpose of the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19 was. And as I made explicitly clear in my video, I was absolutely not arguing that this meant that the authors and editors of Genesis 19 or of any other part of the Bible would have approved of same-sex intercourse. That was absolutely not my argument. And so saying, look, these authors and editors don't approve of same-sex intercourse is not addressing my argument, much less undermining it.
But Dan is a PhD Bible scholar, so how can we reconcile what he says? He says,
that it is the academic consensus.
Academic consensus is. So I'm thinking, what is academic consensus? Maybe it's a term for a group of academics, like a murder of crows or a school of fish. There's a consensus of academics, and that would be some number of academics. Maybe the academics that go to coffee with Dan on Tuesday morning.
I don't drink coffee.
Or the academics that got their PhD all together with Dan.
I got my PhD by myself.
It may actually be a lot of academics that are part of this particular consensus. 5, 6, maybe even 7. Yeah, okay, that worked.
So academic consensus refers to a majority of academics who work in this or a related field. And there are a few different ways to determine that. One is by running surveys, and I am developing one right now that will be run later this year that will seek to determine the academic consensus of biblical scholars regarding a wide variety of questions. So I will have pretty robust data to share toward the end of this year or the beginning of next year regarding these and other questions. But there are several ways that you can try to figure out the academic consensus. For instance, you can publish in the field and you can read widely on given questions and you can make notes of what the majority of scholars tend to be saying about this. And that's how I have determined that this is the academic consensus, and also discussing with other academics what their perception is. But maybe that's not good enough. So this is the new SBL Study Bible. This revises and replaces the HarperCollins Study Bible. It's published by Harper One. SBL means Society of Biblical Literature. That's the largest professional society of biblical scholars in the world with well over 10,000 members. And they gave me an award for excellence in public scholarship last year. But on their notes regarding Genesis 19, we have for verses 6 through 8, Lot's response is to maintain his honor as host by protecting the strangers and to offer his virgin daughters as surrogate victims for the men's sexual assault. His response shows that the men's wickedness is not homosexuality as such, since the daughters are offered as suitable surrogates. Their wickedness is sexual violence, parenthetically gang rape, as the inverse of hospitality and protection. But maybe you think the Society of Biblical Literature is not in tune enough with what biblical scholars are actually saying to be able to accurately represent the consensus. Let's go over to the New Oxford Annotated Bible, the fifth and most updated edition, although the sixth edition should be coming out soon. Here we see in the highlighted note, as in the case of 18 verses 1 through 8, the main issue here is hospitality to secretly divine visitors. However, the sanctity of hospitality is threatened by the men of the city who wish to rape, parenthetically no, the guests, parenthetically, compare Judges 19, verses 22 through 30. The primary point of this text is how this threat by the townspeople violates the value of hospitality. Parenthetically, contrasts chapter 18, verses 1 through 16. Now, if you don't think study Bibles are good at identifying where the academic consensus sits, you can go look at critical commentaries. You can look at monographs on this passage or on this topic. You can go look at scholarly articles and journals, and what you will find is that the majority of scholars endorse the position that the primary rhetorical point of this passage is that Sodom and Gomorrah were inhospitable. Now, as I explicitly pointed out in my video, the fact that this was a threat of sexual assault against male outside visitors was also salient, because to sexually assault a man was to put him in a submissive, subordinate sexual position, which violates the social hierarchy of domination that has him at the very pinnacle. And so that is a violation of social expectations. That is an aberrant sexual act. In addition to being sexual assault, it violates the social hierarchy. And so that is also salient in many of those commentaries, as I stated in my video. However, as I stated in my video, it is not the point. The point is the inhospitality, and that is the academic consensus.
And then there's the right-wing thing. Okay, ad hominem.
And misuse the Bible solely to support the structuring of power, values, and boundaries in favor of right-wing authoritarian identity politics.
Yeah, well, I deserve that, because that would be me, and I have no credentials at all. So there's that ad hominem. You can throw other ad hominems at me.
So this isn't ad hominem in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. One of my specializations is the cognitive science of religion. So I study how and why people believe the things they do, and how and why they read the Bible the way they do. And part of that is our intuitive biases, our prejudices. And research has repeatedly demonstrated that right-wing authoritarianism and social dominance orientation are among the strongest predictors of anti-gay and anti-trans biases. And these biases are implicit, and they are going to govern how we interpret the text. That has been a central thesis of my work here on social media ever since I started. Our biases influence how we negotiate with the text. And so if you come at the Bible from a position of right-wing authoritarianism and social dominance orientation, and you are not aware of those biases and also don't care to interrogate them or think critically about them, they are going to determine how you negotiate with the text and how you reconstruct what you think the authors meant. And overwhelmingly, that's actually just going to reflect how you would like to structure power and values and boundaries to serve your own identity politics.
But the Bible says what it does.
No, it doesn't. The Bible doesn't say anything at all. We construct meaning with the Bible. And the more informed and self-critical we are, the better we are at getting close to what the original authors likely meant. That's what I'm representing. The less informed and self-critical we are, the more likely we are to deploy the Bible in the service of our own identity politics and interests. That's what you're doing.
I thought hermeneutics was to read the best reading based on what we have, not based on what current society thinks it should say.
And I am providing the best reading. You are the one who is tergiversating the text so that it serves social identities that are important to you.
I'm sorry, I know I'm uneducated, but I'm going to have to go with the Bible on this one. Leviticus 20, Romans 1, 1 Timothy 1.
Once again, these texts have absolutely no bearing whatsoever on what the authors and editors of Genesis 19 were trying to do in telling the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the point of my video was explicitly not to claim that Genesis 19 or any other part of the Bible endorses or approves of same-sex intercourse. So you are not engaging my argument. You are just mindlessly tossing out proof texts for why it's okay for you to be homophobic.